Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show. Good afternoon, all my friends out there in Radio Land. This is Janet Cox from Living Astrology here today on the air to talk to you about all things astrological and human design. My lovely co-host and Greek god Jason Levanis will be joining me here in just a moment. As I'm sure those of you on Instagram are aware, he is out there right now pushing the show. We'll expect him in just a few minutes. So first, let me say hello to everybody and welcome you. Today's show is going to be an interesting one because, first of all, we're crossing into territory. I just realized I spelled Uranian wrong on my blog talk post. I hate it when I do things like that. Uranian. It's meant to be Uranian. Impact coming soon. And that was all about the fact that we've been talking about the planets that are about ready to change signs. And Uranus is the next one in the series. We talked about Jupiter before she moved out of Libra and into Scorpio. And we talked about last week and the week before, we talked about Saturn, who moved out of Sagittarius into Capricorn next, or in December. And today we're going to talk then about Uranus, who is going to move out of the sign of Aries and into the sign of Taurus as we get into the spring of 2016. 2018. Hello, pardon me, time warp. Jason, get on the line. We see you in there now. How did it go
Instagram? I was typing my funny name in for you, but you interrupted me. Yes, I'm here. Have no fear, savoir faire is here. I was doing an Instagram posting for you. Sorry. It's very funny. I was talking about an impacted anus. You know, that how the people have to go to the dog. Anyway, you know, they have to have their glands expressed. There is no way we're getting through this hour without me making at least, I used to have a bell, like at least 5 to 7 different anus jokes. So, you know what I think I'm going to do?
Don't have a clue.
That will be my Uranus
there we go.
Whistle. Anyway, thank you for having me with you today. I know you're going crazy with trying to explain everything, but at the top of the show, I want to give credit to you. Make sure you check out Janet's webpage at www.living-astrology.com. You can get all kinds of wonderful charts done and readings done by her. Should your predisposition be towards human design, you can do the same thing. And if you're exciting, like we are, in the morning, 10:30 and 11 o'clock on Janet's Living Astrology Facebook page, we do the energetic readings of the day on the Meta Cafe. Much past that, if you need your cards read and you need to be abused properly, get in touch with me. If you want to be fucking abused, Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis. That's one word with two L's, Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis. com. I look forward to hearing from you. Janet, the stage is yours, my love. Bye.
Well, Jason, you sure get a lot out of your mouth in a very short number of minutes.
It's better than putting a lot in a short matter of minutes.
I think I just walked right into that one, didn't I?
Yes.
Oh, Lord. So.
Well, listen, now we're going to look deep into Uranus, right?
Right. We're going to look deep into Uranus. This is exactly why you personally are exactly why I say Uranus. that I don't have the anus jokes, nor do I have the urine jokes if I say Uranus, which is the other way of pronouncing the word.
That's a different party. See, that's why you have me on here. You have an anal-oriented Greek man. There's no way around that for me.
There's just no way around that for me either, I guess.
Could be worse. You could be associated with, like, I don't know. What's the most constipated sexually sign in the zodiac? Like Libra? No, Virgo, because they want
Scorpio.
Everything to be perfect, right? Scorpio is constipated?
Scorpio. Constipated.
Oh.
Withholding.
Oh.
And, yeah, so.
Interesting.
Oh. It rules in the body. It rules the colon and
you know,
all
I bet
the parts
you just
below.
Blew everyone's mind. I bet you just blew everyone's mind.
I bet
mind
I did.
Because the because the precept of Scorpio, because it rules the genitalia and that whole area, is that they're all whoremongers.
Okay. That may be true.
And that they're,
but
and that they're hypersexual.
Yes, that's true. But it doesn't stop them from holding on to.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I got you. Yes. That's exciting.
Yeah. But today we digress. We're talking about a completely different sign with a completely different planet. So let's move to the subject of the day because, come on, this is going to be some really exciting stuff and a little bit scary. I mean, you know, Jason and I both have been, I hate to use the word suffering, so we have been experiencing stomach issues, stomach troubles over the, Jason for much longer than I, but for me, several days where, you know, stomach going, what in the hell is going on in this world? And anxiety, it's kind of a feeling of anxiety and just digestive issues. So here is reason Uranus, this wonderful little planet of ours out there rolling around the universe on its side as opposed to upright like most of the planets do, carrying on in its unexpected and chaotic ways. It is a planet that actually rules the sign of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius will be ruled mm-hmm. by this mighty little Titan. And mighty, not little, mighty Titan.
Yeah.
And Aquarius itself is a sign that, of course, we equate with the coming age, but we also equate it with certain things that Uranus also rules, like freedom, like revolution and rebellion. And it is a fixed sign. Aquarius is a fixed sign ruled by a planet that tends to hold on to the energy that it's playing with for a while. Please note that while Uranus has been in Aries, we have been on one long ride with Mars, right? Mars energy,
yes.
Revolution, anger, conflict, confrontation, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Jay?
I just got a little hit up from our sister wife. I guess now it's our sister wife. You just turned lesbian on me. She says to me, with a question mark, one of our listeners, Rachel, says, Uranus moves on its side?
Yes, it
is, that
is
true?
On its side. It instead of
I didn't
up
think
and
a
down.
Sphere,
you know,
I
like,
didn't think a sphere. I didn't think a sphere had a side.
Okay, well, instead of being a north and south-oriented rotation, it has an east-west roll to its orientation.
Holy cow. I didn't know that that was possible.
Right. Just like Venus has a backwards rotation.
Well, folks, you're
so
hearing it
Venus,
firsthand here. I'm learning every day, every time. I mean, I just thought everything moved in the same, you know, direction and motion and pathway orbiting around the sun. So that's very interesting. Okay, thank you for letting me be stupid for
right.
a moment.
No, you're not stupid. Those are great questions. Great question, Rachel. Thank you for saying that and giving us the opportunity to enlighten our listeners a little bit. So back to
Uranus. Well, at the risk of digressing you for just a second, if it has a sideways motion, mm-hmm. does it mean that the movement is less intense? I mean, if it's north, mm-hmm. south, or east, or west, does it make it does it have an impactful, well, of course it has an impactful thing, but is there one that has more of a charge to it than the other? There we go.
I'm not sure we could say that, except that this planet, I'm going to throw a word out there to you, eccentric.
All right.
Right? This planet
is
eccentric in relation to the rest of the planet. It rolls in a different way. It creates chaos wherever it goes. I mean, this is one of those kind of planets that gives us everything that we can't pin down and cause to be expected. So in other words, unexpected events, literally chaos ensues when Uranus is in play, because we cannot predict exactly what's going to happen or what events might happen. And purpose behind this. This is not just let's shit all over humanity kind of change and chaos. This is the kind of change that's meant to free us in some way. And sometimes, you know how we humans are, though, you know, we don't just take change sitting down, right? We very rarely do human beings just say, oh, okay, we're going to behave like this now, right? It takes time to push us in a new direction. Uranus attempts to shorten the length of time that it takes humanity to change or to evolve or to move forward by creating this chaotic sort of atmosphere. And so we've got that energy from that planet. Now let's take a look at Taurus, because
it sounds very power card.
Oh my God, you just ripped the words right out of my mouth, Jason, because I wanted to tell you that today in a very powerful way, absolutely.
Yeah.
Any day, but today especially. This planet changes signs on May 16th, 2018. And, of course, the Tower card is the 16 card, correct?
Yep.
And the 16,
incredible.
The number 16, which adds up to a 7, is often putting us in the way of some kind of spiritual development. Every time I think about the 7, I think about that idea of evolution in a spiral and how it spirals us, you know, in growth, as opposed to a straight line. Growth and evolution usually happens in a spiral. So we've got Uranus that's creating change and chaos and the possibility of revolution and rebellion, as if we need more. And it rules electricity, so anything to do with that electric sort of energy. And then we have the sign Taurus. Now, Taurus is a sign ruled by Venus. And Taurus rules everything to do with banking and money, earning it and spending it, and also our morals, our values. It is also a fixed sign. Like I said, Uranus that rules Aquarius. Aquarius is also a fixed sign, meaning the things that are to be brought about during this time period are fixed and stable and stationary. So bringing lasting changes, whatever those may be. But we also have to look at the fact that Taurus, or Uranus in the sign of Taurus, is in its fall. Now, that is a word I've probably not brought you people before, because I rarely use this term, but it is important here to understand that in this particular energy, Uranus is not happy in Taurus. In fact, it does not do well in Taurus. We have energies that are diverging from one another. We have energies that are butting heads with one another. So one of the ways that we can actually look at how might play out in the grander landscape of astrology is to look backwards in time. And if we look, by the way, before I move on to that, don't forget too that Taurus is an earth sign. And so that brings us into everything to do with the earth. So we are talking earthquakes, volcanoes, we're talking about food that grows on the earth, the climate of the earth, etc., are all thrown into the sign of Taurus and are also at the effect of Uranus playing its little games in Taurus as we move into the spring. So let's look backwards in time. Everybody get your little time, you know, your little crystal ball out. God, Jason, I can't believe you let that go by.
You know what? I got to pick and choose. I figure tonight I'm going to focus on your anus.
Very good. Okay. Focus on my anus. So, Oh, God, I love you.
I can assure you, I can assure you there is not another fucking astrological show out there that would dare to let me have my way with you, have my way with Uranus, as you'd say. I mean, seriously, because you know they're probably all out there, right, in their little do-gooder way, and, like, everything's good, and, you know, lights and sunshine. And in the back of their head, they're saying, God, I'd just like to say something about Uranus.
And then Jason says it.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I
Perfect, Jason.
You.
Okay, yes, you did, but that's okay. So, I was going to say something about this. Oh, I was going to tell you that Uranus has – I'm going to laugh every time I say the word now. That's too bad. Uranus has a seven-year cycle, meaning it's 7 years in every sign. And if you multiply seven then by 12 signs, it is an 84-year orbit completely around the zodiac. Does that make sense? Right? 7 years
mm-hmm.
per sign times
yes.
12. 12 times 7
yes.
is 84. So most, at least modern humans, are more and more likely to experience a Uranus return in this lifetime, meaning more and more of us are living to 84 years old and beyond. So an interesting thing, because I find when people make it to at least 84 years old, that they to live a whole lot longer than that, because it's almost like the planet Uranus some wonderful energies into the picture for them. Okay, that's a digression.
Janet, I need to leave you for about 2 minutes. I have to look for my charger for my phone so that I can
okay.
stay on the line with you. Okay.
I thought maybe you
that.
Had to empty your anus.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that was bad. All right, so let's go back to the cycles of Uranus and the last times it was in Taurus. And we're going to go back two cycles, back to Uranus in Taurus in 1767. Actually, that would be four cycles ago. Uranus in Taurus in 1767 actually brought about several themes that I think you're going to see repeated throughout the times that we're going to share today. In 1767, the energy of money was up for taxation. Taxation without representation, to be exact, because in 1767, Britain had enacted the Stamp Act and other acts that were instituted against the American colonies to raise taxes for the wars they were fighting in Europe. And, of course, other reasons, other things they wanted to spend money on as well. But they wanted to raise those funds and brought up taxes in the budding American colonies, which, of course, leads to the Boston Massacre in 1770. And then, of course, that sets the stage for what becomes the American Revolution when Uranus actually moves out of Taurus and into Gemini. So we're setting a stage here, Pete, because we've got Uranus moving into Taurus and right after that, Gemini. And what you're going to see is several wars come out of the energies that did while Uranus is in Taurus. So that was 1767 on up to, 1774. And let's come forward in time then, when Uranus in Taurus was again in July of 1850. And at this time, we had just experienced the California Gold Rush. Right? Mass immigration of people who were escaping famine and hardships from all the different countries around the globe. And they heard the call of gold in California and moved en masse to the U.S. or immigrated en masse to the U.S. And what ensues there is a pure, undisguised capitalism as all of the gold creates new people with money that creates new businesses and a huge amount of growth, but also marginalizes some of the citizens, because there had been laws that were passed that created, I think it was called the Immigrant Miners Act, which made passed a tax on immigrants, especially Chinese immigrants, who were mining for gold. So a Chinese immigrant would have to pay $20 a month, a lot of money in those days, just because they were not because they were foreign born and not American born. So we have the idea again of taxation. We have capitalism entering the picture. And the California Gold Rush, of course, actually began in 1849, which puts right at the very end of Uranus in Aries, which is where we are today. So if we take a look at some of the things that are lining up now between now and May 16th of 2018, we might be able to see what direction, at least from a financial standpoint, that the energy is taking us. So let's fast forward, and now let's go to the years 1934 to 1942. This is the transit that really gave me the willies, and in a very bad way. This was a time of the rise of Hitler. This is just post the Great Depression, the great stock market crash of October 29, 1929. And in that time, of course, that was when Uranus was in the last degrees of Aries, where it is today. And here we go, people. We're seeing a pattern, right? We're seeing a pattern. So the Uranus in Taurus was witnessing the rise of Hitler. There was runaway inflation. Economies around the country, around the world, were experiencing inflation. And so hardship, poverty, starvation, famine were all themes that were developing. And remember I said Taurus also rules the food we grow, agriculture, all things to do with the land. So these hardships created a state where people were ready to listen to the more extreme views given that the old political parties had been letting them down. And Hitler took advantage of that, right? Because he fomented this idea of a new party, pride in the fatherland. You can't see me, people, but I'm using air quotes. Pride in the fatherland. And then before going on to dominate other countries, which was what his plan was. And this sets the stage for World War II, which actually happens when Uranus moves into Gemini. But we also see a new kind of currency arise, and that currency is about rationing versus the normal currency. I think I remember hearing my mom and dad, who were both, you know, alive during the Depression days, talking about stamps, and that you got called them rations, I think, and you were, you know, could only buy so many things. Pairs of nylons, for example, or so many cans of food. And so rationing became a sort of synonymous with the constriction that was going on in the economy. So 1934 is interesting to me because Jupiter was also in Scorpio at that time, which is like it is now. So what are we starting to see here as far as some parallel, and this is where it gets really scary. Are you with me there, Jason? I see alternate number for bullish tits. Is that you, Jason? Are you there?
Yes, can you hear me? Can you hears me?
I can hear you. Your phone must have died, eh? Eh, Hoser?
Well, it was going to die, and so I went out. My sister was having dinner. I'm like, I need your phone. You don't get it back until 8. I left my charger at my friend's house, and I'm a big dickhead. I'm a big anus.
Here we go again. So here's something that really got my goat over this whole Uranus moving into Taurus. And that is that as Hitler was fomenting pride in the fatherland, which to me speaks of patriotism and blind patriotism, It reminds me of what's going on in this country right now with our pseudo-Hitler person in the face of Trump, kind of strong-arming the NFL into caving into having to toe the line and make the players stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and for the race of the flag. And to me, that is a very scary thing, right? When you start dictating from the president's pulpit to corporations out there on what they must do, there is a battering of freedoms, right? There is a weakening of our First Amendment right to free speech. And so there are some things that are happening right now that are scaring me into thinking that we're getting ready to repeat history, right? What are we getting ready to repeat? Now, I want to go back to the financial aspect of this. Do you know, Jason, that on Wall Street, which is a financial, you know, strength in this country, or indeed mm-hmm. around the world,
yeah.
what is there a statue of outside of Wall Street?
Is Abe? Well, there are a couple, but I'll tell you the square. I know exactly the square you're referring to. There's
uh-huh.
a huge, gorgeously cast bronze bull.
Right.
And there is also a Lady Liberty. She holds the scales in front of a different end of it. But that's just because I'm a New Yorker. I know the place. So, yeah.
But I'm talking about in front of the stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange.
Yep.
Is a statue of a bull. Is there any mm-hmm. doubt that astrology is playing in the world? Right? So the bull, which is a symbol of Taurus, for those of you that don't know, the astrological symbol for Taurus is the bull, sits outside of the New York Stock Exchange, the epitome of the banking and stock exchange marketplaces in this country. And so it's kind of funny that then Uranus in Taurus has brought us things like the Banking Act. Do you know what the Banking Act was, Jason?
Nope.
Neither did I, so don't feel stupid. The Banking Act,
no,
I had to look it up.
I mean, I don't
like,
feel any more stupid than I usually do, so...
The Banking Act put regulations on the bank, the big banks, the big banking systems, and established the FDIC, which is the Federal Deposit Insurance
mm-hmm.
Corporation, that
yes.
protects investors, protects banking customers from going bankrupt, which is what started
mm-hmm.
the Great Depression, right? So when everybody was trying
to
withdraw
FDIC
their money, the bank
insured.
Comes up.
Yeah.
Correct.
You'd hear those advertisements.
Yeah. So if the country goes tip again financially, presumably your deposits are insured up to $250,000 or something like that. So that was established in 1935, I believe it was. But what else was established in 1935
Pardon.
Was the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, which do you know who gets to who gets to elect the head of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors?
I'm going to say the president.
Very good, Jason. The president does. And I know that I don't know much about the Federal Reserve, but I do know that it's an evil entity, one that has way overstepped its bounds and its reach, and one that I'm guessing, because of the nature of it, is probably going to undergo changes in the next cycle of Uranus going into Taurus, as well Whoa. As the Social Security Act also came into play at that time. And the game Monopoly, which is all about big money, buying utilities, buying and selling properties, and, you know, cornering the market, as it were, was also brought out in the mid-1930s during the Uranus and Taurus. So if there's any doubt in our mind that money is going to play a role, let me just disavow you of that right now, because this is going to be all about money. This is going to be about banking. This is going to be about how we take care of one another as far as it relates to our values, our morals. and I would guess it is going to be fairly disruptive. There was something else I was going to say about this. What was it? Oh, when we were in, let's see, it was 2008, when we had the last recession where the mortgage bubble burst, where the banking bubble burst, and we were thrown into chaos for a couple of years there. And actually, the taxpayers had to bail out the corporations like GM and Ford and Chrysler. And I may be saying that wrong, but don't hold me to that. But definitely, we were bailing out these big corporations. That was sort of a sign of the times, something that was going to be coming back up again. Because at that time, we put in place some pretty tight restrictions on banks and what they could do and how they could trade in these hedge funds and in these, what do they call those things? Gosh, the word just went dividends. And anyway, you could tell I'm not an economics major. However, when I started hearing over this last week was like banter in the background of our politics about releasing and weakening some of those bank restrictions that were put into play at that point in time. And I can't imagine then how that might blow up our economy should another depression type thing happen. And I would say it is probably very much something that we should watch for, is something that happened that tanks our economy. And I'm saying these things to scare the crap out of people. I hope it does at least make you go, maybe I should do something to protect myself. And here's why.
Is there any possibility that this shift could be a positive one, and instead of tanking, it could take a shift for some great boom economically?
Well, okay, let's put that in a different light. Every big change that Uranus brings is usually in some form a way of releasing us from something or freeing us into a new way of being. And what we see often is that, for example, the FDIC was established to protect banking customers from losing all their money should another Great Depression happen, because the banks were taking advantage of what was going on. Well, then what we see in every iteration here is that Uranus brings in something new, and then greed takes over, and in some way begin to destabilize our very wonderful opportunity to make positive change. And so then Uranus moves into a different sign and brings another aspect that we have to look at and change. Now, you know, this is a spiral of evolution. So it's not like hopefully we don't let history repeat itself exactly, because that would be devastating. But history does have a tendency to sort of come back around, and it begins to create a choice point for us where we can choose again a way that we can go forward instead of backwards. In other words, we're spiraling up, hopefully, and spiraling down. So I hope that answers your question, Jason, because it is something that will be exposed, but probably something has to crash first, so that the underlying hypocrisy or unsustainability can be exposed for us to be able to create something new and move on in a positive motion.
Let me see if I can ask you to just recap for us. Give us, again, the timing on this exactly.
Okay, let's back up a moment then.
Okay.
Okay.
And to let you know, you have two people. I don't know why Casildra is not holding. I keep putting her name in. But you have two people on the line and 25 minutes to go.
Right. Thank you. Let's go backwards in time to what happened the day that the planet Uranus moved out of Pisces and into the sign of Aries.
Okay.
And this can show you how fast and how lightning speedily things can change. So March 2011, sees 29 degrees is where Uranus is sitting when the big Japanese earthquake and subsequent tsunami happens. Just hours after that, Uranus moves out of the water sign of Pisces and into the fire sign of Aries, and now we have a nuclear holocaust in the making, right? With Fukushima catching fire and releasing I don't know how many tons of cesium into the oceans and creating the need for us to look at what, how are we using our nuclear, is it stupid to have nuclear plants on earthquake zones, et cetera, et cetera. So we saw in a very split second how devastating a planet changing signs can be. So let's fast forward to May 15th. May 15th, the planet Uranus will be at the 29th degree of Aries, which, by the way, born not only that nuclear problem, but also the Arab Spring. The very many revolutions that took place throughout many countries on this earth, including Tunisia, Ethiopia, Egypt, Syria, Iran, Iraq, all of these countries went through varying degrees of upset during this period of time. So what might we expect? Well, I would expect that something fiery, something confrontational perhaps, happens on the 15th of May or just before leading up to that day, creates a very powerful change May 16th. Remember that tower card is, you know, very much indelibly marked on my brain here. Yours, because you brought it up. You pulled it out of my mouth. You pulled it out of my head.
Yeah.
And so I fully expect something major happening, you know, in those days that is going to really show us where the energy is going. And, you know, we can expect rebellion against convention, against everything
What was the exact timing on that, you said?
May 16th, 2018.
May 16th.
The day it moves.
Okay.
That's the first day of its being in Taurus. May 15th will be the last day that it's at the 29th degree of Aries, right?
So what do we do?
Well, let me go through some other things that we might see. A major shift in the global economic conditions, possibly for the worse, right? Another, you know, hit in the financial sector that really reveals to us the need to make a big change. You know, I'm not the only person out there saying that we only put a Band-Aid on what happened in 2008, right? We literally just put a freaking Band-Aid over gash so deep that it's ridiculous to think that we could have even done this. And I think we set ourselves up for the eventual crash and the need for reconstruction that can happen when the planet Uranus surprises us mid-May of 2018. Here's something else that really, I hate to use the word titillated because it sent frisons of fear down my spine when one of the things I to be true about this particular time may be the earth really showing us crazy weather, crazy storms, earthquakes, volcanoes, big eruptions, big earth problems, climate problems, disasters beyond what we have already experienced. I mean, think about it. Our nerves are already jangled on edge based on the things that have been happening to us already in this year. Imagine what it might be if, what if a super volcano erupts on this planet somewhere? That thought entered into my mind, and what did I find on Facebook this morning? An article that was written about, it says, USA Today reports that scientists working in and around Yellowstone National Park say the super volcano sitting under the tourist attraction can erupt faster than they ever believed possible with less time warning, right? They also noted that in 2011 that a bulge occurred. See, the reason this supervolcano would blow up or implode or explode would be because more magma was rushing into the chamber below it. And in 2011, they discovered that the magma chamber under Yellowstone was much bigger than what they thought. And on top of that, it was bulging. It was growing at about 10 centimeters per year. Why would it bulge? Because it's growing, right? It is growing. More and more magma is building up in the caldera, which is just the magma chamber. Now, I'm not saying we're going to expect a Yellowstone explosion. I'm not saying that at all. But it's that kind of catastrophe that would totally upset the way of life that we have come to know. I tell you, Mother Earth is probably fit to be tied with humanity because we have a president sitting there that refuses to climate change, who is engaging all of the different oil companies and coal companies in producing more and more fossil fuels, which we don't need, right? Especially if we have technology that can take us away from that. And I'm guaranteeing you, she is going to show us her might, right? Her might, not ours. And it's a possibility that we're going to be at the behest of this in May of next year. What do we do? First of all, don't go into fear. Don't go into fear, but I start now paying down your debt. Right? Run up to the hills. Get away from the oceans. Yeah. Right? Move to the heartland. Except you think there's also an earthquake fault that runs down the Mississippi, the New Madrid earthquake. That could separate the United States in half.
I'm just going to slit my fucking wrist when you're done with this. My God.
No. Okay. Do you rather not know or know? Because here's the thing that you can do. You can start preparing now, financially and fiscally. Get your house in order. Start looking into, because I suspect that cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, will be in becoming more powerful. So start looking into, how do I engage in Bitcoin? How do I use my resources in a different way, right? How do I start moving out of cash and the kinds of currency that are not backed by anything stable, like gold, for example, and start creating a different form of economy? And lest any of you think that I'm just blowing smoke here or making shit up, remember, I'm the one that told you all back in August that as soon as Jupiter started moving into Scorpio, that big secrets were starting to be revealed. And, of course, what's the very first day of Jupiter in Scorpio and the sex scandal with Harvey Weinstein? It blows up on the media, right, where for years and years this misogynistic, abusive man was getting away all kinds of things, and suddenly in the blink of an eye, it all becomes revealed. There are more revelations on the way. So I'm not making this stuff up, people. This is stuff that, you know, may not be exactly how I'm predicting it to happen. Nobody can really do that. But I can guarantee you that Taurus rules the financial markets. This is going to hit us in our pocketbooks. Start looking at reducing your debt. Start looking at engaging in other ways, money. You know, if it's bartering or cryptocurrencies or something else.
Wow.
Prepare yourself a kit. If you aren't ready, if we're going to experience some major kind of catastrophe, and you guys all know this because all around the country there are all different kinds of catastrophes. There's hurricanes and there's tornadoes and there's earthquakes and there's floods, there's fires. You know, oh my gosh, we've learned the lessons this year about fires and floods. That seems to be a theme, right? Make yourself a survival kit. Don't expect that the federal government is going to leap in, especially if you become marginalized like poor Puerto Rico has, right? Another thing in the Facebook news today is that, you know, fearless leader saying, hey, guess what, Puerto Rico, too bad for your suffering. You may not have the money to keep helping you, right? So don't pretend that the government is going to be able to save your butts, right? Your anus is your own. Take care of yourself. Make up some form of what do they call them here? We call them survival kits, right? Because I live on the West Coast, the United States, I live on a subduction zone that at any moment could create major havoc. So everybody along the west coast of the United States and probably other countries as well have the need for a survival kit, that where you would have things put away that you would need in the case of something catastrophic. So start finding out who your neighbors are, right? Get cozy with your neighborhood, because those are the people that are going to love, support you, and keep you safe should the worst happen. I'm not expecting the worst, but if we can expect the worst and we land somewhere less than that, hallelujah, we were ready for it. So watch the market. Watch what's going on in the government. Watch what corporations are doing, because corporations are buying up assets and will become more powerful than the federal government will if they are not already, right? So watch that happening. So they don't have your best interests in mind. That's not what they're out for. They're out to keep the 1% happy, the shareholders. You are in the 99%. Claim your damn power. Use your dollars wisely. Get ready for a shakeup. And know that it's all about freedom. It's all about bringing us back to a more balanced golden age. Now, will we see that golden age?
Is this blog talk radio or soapbox radio?
I don't know.
Anywho, you have 13 minutes, lady, and two people in the queue.
Let's bring in Amla. Bring a chart
person
in.
Let's see what you have to say from yesterday. Hey, how to go?
I didn't make it.
Hi, Amla.
Call me. Good.
They didn't
Hi.
Call you?
No.
When are they supposed to call you by?
Today.
Huh. Well,
so
I'll be
I must have been behind the scenes yesterday, so I did not hear this conversation. What were you expecting a call back about, Amla? Was this about a job or?
This was a contest. I submitted a 1-minute video pitch, and the conference is going on October 30th, which is the day before Halloween. But the deadline for this contest was this past Sunday, and today is the 12th, mm-hmm. and they were going to call the 10 finalists for the second round today. If I won, basically you win transportation to and from this conference, and it's in New York City and Martha Stewart and all these other late. It's a women's conference. Jane Pauley and all these other people are going to be there. And
how do you know that they might not contact you a little bit later?
Well, I did call. I mean, I get anxious, so I did call. Actually, I called the number today, and she said it's today or tomorrow. So I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous, but that's okay. It's okay. I wouldn't have even been able to do it unless I had unless I had the guts to just be like, just do it anyway, which I did. So
right.
It's a win-win. You know, that's how I see it. That's how I see it. I really feel empower me. Yeah.
So here's how it looks in your astrology chart. Anytime we're talking about luck or winning something or, you know, something that happens that's really beneficent or beneficial for us, it is the planet Jupiter that's in play. Now, the planet Jupiter is today at, 0 degrees some seconds of Scorpio, which puts it right on top of your part of fortune, which is where the most luck can be had in your chart. Now,
okay.
I'm making this up, and I don't think Jason was making anything up either when he's tapping into, there's something lucky going on here for you, because not everybody is going to have Jupiter conjunct their part of fortune right now. Right? The part of fortune is an Arabic part that brings you good luck.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have you on a short list if you don't get it, and somebody's not able to do it, and you get called after the fact.
Okay. That's good to know. Yes. Okay. That's wonderful.
Plus you don't have any clue what other doors this opens up for you, right?
Every
action that we take leads to something. The fact that you had the courage to go out and do something like this might mean that next you have the courage to do something else that leads you down another path. So you don't always know what the ramifications are, But I would stick with whatever it is that you are envisioning for yourself, right? Keep to your vision, right? Keep to the code, as we would say, right? You have the sun at 24 degrees of Sagittarius, and Saturn is at 22 degrees of Sagittarius. So you're going to have another sort of lucky strike here where Saturn hits your natal sun. And that puts it in striking zone of the galactic center, which brings tons of change. So don't give up.
It?
Don't give up just because it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to look like.
No, no, no.
Because
and
something
I'm not.
Yeah, good
I feel
girl.
More empowered than ever. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think your chart looks really empowering right now. And, you know, for the next, you know, foreseeable future, let's just say for the next year almost, a lot of the work that you're going to be engaged in is about changing beliefs, elevating your perspective, and, you know, changing your fundamental beliefs about what goes on and how things go on this planet.
It makes sense.
Big change.
Makes a lot of sense.
Big changes. Yeah.
Well, even entering this has just been it's an honor just going. I could have done this even 2 weeks ago with Switch Light and said, you got to do this, girl. You just got to do this.
Yeah.
Regardless of the outcome. Yep.
Well, would you do us a favor if and when it does come through, hit us back next week on my show or Janet's show and let us know, okay?
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You're very welcome. And I know more's coming, so just expect the unexpected.
Awesome.
All right. So,
awesome.
Yeah, you
thank
can't
you.
Get better than that, right? You're welcome.
It was wonderful. I learned so much. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Our other caller seems to have dropped off the line. So, you know,
indeed.
You have the next 7 minutes. You have you, me, Rachel.
Well, let's bring Rachel in and let's just see what she thinks about all this bullish stuff that we're talking about. Hi, Rachel. How are you doing?
Well, yikes. I'm back to save my money.
I thought, we've shocked her into silence.
No. I'm not silent, but I am listening to. I'm just still stunned about Uranus being on its side.
I know, right? I'm still trying to process that shit.
It is one of the more interesting things about that planet. But, of course, like I said, one of the ones to throw out there about Uranus is eccentricity. And it's definitely eccentric, right? It does something the other planets don't do. And so it tends to bring up things that are revolutionary, that are different, out of the ordinary, that set us up for a new way of being. Even though it often instigates chaos in the transformation. And that's the point I want everybody to take away or take home today in all of this is that, yes, okay, things could look pretty crappy, but it isn't devastating to the point where the planet's going to blow up or implode or go away. That's just fear, right? That's just fear talking there.
No, we're just going to have a nice little light genocide, you know.
Hey, it's already happening on the planet, right? Did you not see the article about what's going on in Myanmar? This whole 200,000+ village was wiped out by the government of Myanmar because they are of an Islamic Muslim religion instead of the Buddhist religion.
Nice.
Not something I would have expected to ever read in my lifetime about the Buddhism.
From a Buddhist.
Or Buddhist religion.
Yeah. That's not really,
Not what I would have expected. And, of course, then what does that do? It gets the world on edge around that, right? So we have to start looking then at the beliefs we are holding and the reasons why a genocide could occur. And, you know, I just feel like sometimes there's not enough years in my life to see as much change as needs to happen. And on the other hand, sometimes change happens so fast that we just go, wow, knew that that could be a result of, you know, this happening, this event happening. So sometimes it feels like it's a lifetime before things will change. And other times it's like, oh my God, our lives are so different. Who knew that we could, you know, talk to each other on the street corner from Paris to Australia just by dialing a little gadget that we hold in our palm. 20 years ago, I don't know that that was something we really realized we were going to be able to do. And
yeah,
there are more
less,
big,
much
you know,
less
things
the
coming.
Person, like in Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And
you know how in Star Trek, you know the guy, the doctor in Star Trek, how he holds on to this little recorder, I think he calls it, and
yes, tricorder.
Swipes it over the body, and it tells him, tricorder, yeah, yeah. And it tells him all kinds of information about your body. Or not, that's coming, right? That is technology that's in the works even as we speak. And we already know that transportation, teleportation works, and on very little particles. It works on little particles. I guarantee you at some point a human being is able to be teleported. So the things that we thought were science fiction are being ever closer, marching ever closer to reality. And so some of those changes that we've only ever hinted at are, you know, right there for us. But some things have to move out of the way in order for those other things to happen. And there's where the planet Uranus is very useful, right? But Saturn becomes very useful here as well. And maybe in the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about how all of these planets from Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune and Pluto are all playing together in the next 10 years to bring about massive change on this planet, and as if we haven't already experienced it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. All right, people. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, and I'm done talking. And Jason, I know you have some company to go to this evening, so
yep.
I am going to close it up for here for now.
All right.
Join Jason and I on Friday morning for our Friday and weekend daily astrology, human design, and tarot report. And I wish everybody a pleasant evening. Tomorrow is Friday the 13th. Hallelujah!
Yay.
A most auspicious day. So my husband Terry's birthday. Happy birthday to my sweetheart. And
yes.
Happy birthday, Terry.
Yeah. Yay, we should. No, we're not singing happy birthday. But anyway, everybody have a stellar week and a good evening. Bye for
bye,
now.
Y'all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining
Alicia.
Me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week.